a little girl. And just been desperate for birthdays, and I can remember being a bridesmaid and I was so excited the night before. And I can remember my grandma saying, "Oh, good things come to those that wait." And tonight they did in Isaiah's time, in the waiting. Good things always seem to involve that word, waiting. And tonight, our passage tells us about something absolutely amazing that was about to happen. Something wonderful. And then the waiting starts. And Isaiah, in the previous chapter, had been describing the doom and gloom over the land. And tonight, he begins to tell the people who were in exile at that time about something wonderful. The coming of a baby, and everybody gets excited when there's a baby coming. But this baby was to be an amazing king. A great light will shine, and a special child will be born, and a godly promise is made. Something wonderful is foretold. And it made me think about promises, and we've all had promises made to us. My kids would be the first in line to say, "But you promised, you said." And we've had the experience of waiting for somebody to keep a promise, only to be disappointed. But tonight we hear that long, long, long before Jesus was born, God promised that a Messiah would come, an anointed one. And he spoke to the prophets. Tonight we're focusing on the prophet Isaiah. And he told about the coming of this Savior. And our God always delivers on his promises. And it wasn't till when Jesus came that eventually some people began to notice that these prophecies from the Old Testament were coming true right before their eyes. And they begin to see that the things Jesus did and the things he said matched up with the descriptions in these prophecies of old. And they began to realize that Jesus really is the Messiah, or in some cases, he was the Messiah, because they put him on a cross, that God had always promised to send them. God did keep his promise. So what are prophecies? It's a big word, and it's divided churches, this concept of prophecies and what they mean and what God meant by them and why we have them. But prophecies are Bible prophecies, are just messages that God gave people through his messengers, the prophets. God spoke to them and gave them a message for the people. He wanted to let them know certain things that were going to happen in their day or even in the future. And God inspired the prophets to write down these revelations, and we have them in our Bible. And many of the things that were prophesied have already come true in the smallest detail. And some of them are coming true and being fulfilled right now. And some of them will take place in the future. So prophecies are important. And the Bible lets us know that it is the word of God by prophecies, because we see what God has said being outworked. And God is so specific when he gives a prophecy. And it's never at the wrong time. It's always at the right time, to the right person, about the right people or the right event, and it's always amazing. I mean, the more I thought about it, prophecies really are amazing, and they're a little window, a glimpse of God. When an American president goes to visit another country, these things are planned months in advance, and the host nation is told of his itinerary. Well, they would do. We want to know where he's going to go. But they're also told what he wants to eat, who he'd like to see, who he definitely would not like to see, where he would like to go, where he'd like to shop. And they send people in advance. to get things ready for him. And that is what is happening in our portion of scripture tonight. God is setting the scene through Isaiah for the arrival of Jesus. And he said well in advance who was coming and why. And he raised up his prophets to take the message. And they announced God's purpose way ahead of time. And then God made everything happen, just as he'd said. So the prophecies in the Old Testament about the coming of a Savior are really important to us. And they help us to understand Jesus, to understand who he is and why he came and what he came to do. And we can know without doubt that God keeps his promises. And we know that what God promised in the past has happened. But we need to not doubt that what God says he's going to do in the future will also happen. And Jesus in Luke says this, "This is what I've told you while I was with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." And down through the centuries, God told his people lots and lots of details about the coming of this Savior. He said he would be born in Bethlehem, that he wouldn't be an ordinary man, that he was eternal, that he would come to earth and be born as a human baby. And the prophet Micah in the book of Micah, I love this, prophesied that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. But there's two Bethlehems. But God was so specific. He told Micah exactly it would be Bethlehem. I'm going to say this wrong. Ephrathah? Because there's two of them. How specific is that? I mean, that is how amazing these prophecies were. So specific. And a prophecy revealed by God is always specific, always revealed at the right time, and it's always clear and precise. And tonight, in this portion of the prophecy of Isaiah, God has shown Isaiah that this coming Savior will be both human and divine. He would be born of a virgin without a human father. And one of his titles would be Emmanuel, God with us. The promised Messiah is not just a man. He's God. He's God himself in the flesh. Jesus was of God. He had a divine nature. And Isaiah was saying to these people who desperately needed to hear this good news that someone was coming who could bring new life, someone who would bring joy and a fresh start, someone with the Spirit of God in him. Wow, there must have been such an air of expectation. Well, I'd like to think so, for those who listened to the prophet, and then the wait began. Do you think you'd listen to a prophet today? I asked myself that question this week. If somebody came and said they got a message from God, a glimpse of what was to come, how serious would we take that person? Would we just dismiss them, a bit of a loony? Because God did give people messages direct from himself. And our God does speak today. Do we really believe that there are still prophecies yet to be fulfilled, still waiting to be outworked? Some of the verses in this passage just really came home to me this week afresh, because I preached on this passage last year and I was so excited to get it again and see what God had fresh to say to me about it. For to us a child is born, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called a wonderful counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And the prophet Isaiah, foretelling the birth of Jesus, announced the coming in these powerful, powerful words. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And Isaiah is telling his people, there is a light ahead of us. There is hope that brings certainty to an uncertain world. And that sounds exactly like now. I was just looking at the news this week thinking, you know, what is safe? What is secure other than knowing that we're loved of God and he's coming again? And he was given as a gift from God to us for just a world like this, just a world like Isaiah's world. He was to be given into an uncertain world. And the Apostle John, who saw Jesus and witnessed his powerful life, said in him was life, and that life was the light of men. Jesus, the light of the world. He said, whoever follows me will never ever walk in darkness, but will have the light of the world. And how the light of life, and how we need the light of life now. God sent his Savior, the light of the world, to redeem his people. In my Bible reading this week, Jesus was called the Star of Hope. And I like that, the Star of Hope. We really, really need Jesus. We really need that light. We need that hope that's steadfast and certain. And I looked through the passage, and what really jumped out at me were how many will statements there are in that passage. He will be called. Just look down through the passage. So much about this coming Savior will be steadfast and certain. Verses 5 and 6 and 7. This is no wishy-washy prophecy. Isaiah was declaring exactly as God had told him. This is how it will be. And I knew if I'd had this declared to me, I'd be thinking, how is all this going to come about? How is this going to happen? And verse 7 has the answer. It will only come about because God will achieve it. And no human effort can ever achieve this. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. The prophecy and its outworking will depend solely on the power of sovereign God. Wonderful, mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. These terms used in the passage speak of the child who will come and will instruct with divine wisdom, who will act in power as mighty God, who will love and care for his children eternally, whose coming will bring lasting peace and blessing and glorious hope. And I got to verse 4, and I'm sure Isaiah was looking forward to the baby growing into a mighty warrior, because verse 4 refers to the Battle of Midian, where Gideon broke the power of the Midian hordes. And I think Isaiah's looking ahead to this great liberator, this mighty warrior who's going to come and he's going to be mightier than Gideon. And it's true, because Gideon's got nothing on who was to come and who is to come. And as we celebrate Christmas, we're celebrating Jesus himself. We're celebrating the fact that the Father sent his only begotten Son, born as a baby, to die on the cross and to be raised up again for our salvation. And because of this baby, we can look forward to an eternity of joy and peace. Oh, it sounds so good. And what really came to me afresh was that God has a plan. There'd always been a plan. The sending of the Savior didn't just happen. And it's, you know, it's just good to be reminded that God has a plan for us, for you and for me. And I think that sometimes we get this picture that when it all went wrong in the Garden of Eden, we know it did, Adam and Eve and all the serpent and all of that. And I sometimes think we have this image of God as some sort of Merlin-type bumbling old boy who's now scratching his beard thinking, ooh, it's all gone wrong, what am I going to do now? But it's not like that. Not like that. It wasn't like that at all. Revelation 13, verse 8 says that Jesus is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God had a plan to rescue man. And the Old Testament prophecies about the coming of the Messiah were like separate threads. And then into the picture at Christmas come the wise men, these educated men who began to sort of piece together writings and prophecies, and it led them to the manger. Will it lead you? Will you go to the manger this Christmas? And it was after Jesus came, as I said before, the scholars began to see that in him these prophecies were wonderfully woven together. Woven together in Christ. So in the wee small hours, because when you're preaching you see a lot of the wee small hours, I had this thought. You know, I thought, you know, why did God bother to tell us? Why did God bother to foretell the coming of Jesus, the coming of this Savior? You could have kept stum and just let it all happen, and yeah. But he didn't, because he loves his people. He loved his people in Isaiah's time. They were desperate. They were exiled. They were desperate for hope. And he loves his people now. And he always wants to give his people hope. And no matter what situation you're in, he wants to come into that situation and bring his light of hope. The psalmist says, put your hope in God. He wanted to show his redeeming love to his people. He wanted to show us that he's in control. Because sometimes, I don't know about you, but I look and think it's mighty out of control. I'm so glad that God is in control. And he's a mighty God, and he has a plan. And we have a part in that plan. And just as I was thinking about Isaiah foretelling the coming of Christ, I felt we are to foretell about his second coming. And some people think it ended with the resurrection. I've got friends who think it all finished, you know, Easter, it all finished. And that we're following a religion that's had its day. How wrong. How wrong they are. Because Christ will come again. And Revelation 21 says, now the dwelling of God is with men. And he will live with them. And they will be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God. And David, when he preached last week, challenged us to be watchful and be prepared and to wait expectantly and to serve while we're waiting. Big things. And on the internet, everybody's raving about this John Lewis advert with a little boy who's waiting to give more than he's waiting to receive. And that is so not like the world, that it's actually dumbfounded them that he runs past his pile of Christmas presents to take his mum and dad's gift into their bedroom. So how are you waiting? I kept thinking about that all week. David really challenged me. How am I waiting? Am I sat back, just, you know, content to let it ride out? I'll just sit this one out. How are we waiting? Are we going to bring alive and fresh the prophecy of Isaiah to the people we talk to this Christmas, to the people we meet, as we were praying before, the people that are on our hearts? Are we going to tell them, hey, it's not over yet, because Jesus will come again, and we are waiting, but we're loved and we're forgiven because of Jesus? The God who in the past promised and delivered is going to do the same in the future. Don't be put off telling people. Don't be put off telling people about Jesus and the fact he's going to come again. Keep giving the message of hope. Keep telling people that Jesus is coming again. Just keep thinking about that all week. Keep telling. And I know it gets some very odd sort of reactions sometimes. And I know in my older sister in particular, I've told so many times, and she goes, oh, don't go all gaudy on me. But I tell her anyway. I'm going to tell you. You know, shut up. I'm going to tell you. I would imagine the people in Isaiah's time thought, oh, give us a break. It's like an old, my kids will say, Mommy, you're like an old record that's got stuck. But Isaiah was excited. Isaiah was so excited with the message that God had given him. He wanted to declare it to the people. He wanted to write it down so we could see it, the people in the future. Because the events he foretold came true. The incarnation really happened, just as God foretold. And I sometimes think we portray the birth of the Savior of the world like some warm, fuzzy-wuzzy story. And it's not. It's so important. It was so amazing. And I was on a tour of the Holy Land years ago. Rog sent me off as a gift with a group from my church. And you know, your guides tell you, oh, this happened and Jesus was here and this is the first place he did his preaching and all this stuff. And my pastor at that time just took us to one side and says, yeah, they don't know. And it's irrelevant. What you need to remember is he was real. He's alive. He was here as a person. That's what's important, not where he preached his first sermon, in that synagogue or that synagogue, forget it. Could have been 10 yards that way or 10 yards that way. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. But what is important is that you grasp he's real. And every time you see a manger scene this Christmas, as you're preparing your hearts for that coming baby, I want you also to focus the eyes of your heart on his second coming, the coming of the King. I am the Alpha and Omega, says the Lord God, who is and was and who is to come, the Almighty. And this child born in Bethlehem is the King to end all kings. He is Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And I said to somebody this week, I'm not hoping he comes back. He is coming back. He will come back. I know he's going to come back. Foretold, fulfilled, and forgiving. On the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And I just pray this Christmas we can share the story of Jesus, who he is, that he's coming back, and we can give somebody else that peace we have because we know him as our Savior, that peace that's inside us, deep-rooted in us. that we can't understand and can't always explain, save that it's Saviour-given. And if we live by faith in him now, accepting him as our Saviour, you know what? We will be there. I love it. We will be there. We will be there when he comes again. We've missed Bethlehem, which is a bit of a shame, but we've missed that. We were not there when the baby was born. But if he is your Saviour, if you know Jesus, you will be there when he comes again. And that is such good news. Such good news. But you'll not share the good news if it isn't good news to you.
Let's stand together for a moment, please. I'm just going to take a moment of quiet. And just in the quiet, I'm going to invite the Lord to minister to us. And Sheena finished off by saying, you know, is the Lord real to you? Ultimately, everything she said this evening will only change you and those around you when you and others encounter the risen Jesus and you speak out of encounter, you speak out of testimony. And the Lord is here this evening. He's with us by his Spirit. And he loves to give good gifts to his children. He loves to pour out his Spirit on everyone who asks him. And we can only be, in a sense, projected into this world this week in the power of the Spirit. We cannot do it ourselves. We cannot do it out of obligation. Only full of the Spirit. So I'm just going to invite you just to let the Lord fill you and meet you this evening. Lord, as we stand, we thank you you're here, risen, conquering, by your Spirit. And we pray, come Holy Spirit and fill us afresh. Pray we'd meet you this evening, we'd encounter you this evening afresh. Holy Spirit, come. As we listen to the rain outside this evening, often the Spirit of God is described like a mighty river flowing. And the Lord wants to meet you and immerse you in his presence. Not just, he wants you to be immersed in him. Ask him to do that. Ask him to meet you, to fill every part of you to overflowing. And he will delight in that. This evening, the Lord wants to give joy, a fresh joy in him. And just if that's you, just ask the Lord to fill your heart with joy this evening. That the joy of the Lord would be your strength. Can we have the picture up, maybe, Joe? There's a picture we want to just show you as you're just letting the Lord minister you to. David, just describe what happened this week in the storms in Scotland.
There were, the wind blew. The wind blew, and it blew, and it when it really, really blew, and fire came, and. If you read the story in Acts chapter 2 of when the Holy Spirit came, and Jesus said in John 3 that the wind would blow, the Holy Spirit would blow, and fire came. And just as we were praying, and it's a picture of when the wind blows, flames burst out. And it's just a real, I pray it's a prayer for our times that the wind of the Holy Spirit would blow on our land, that the fire of God would come, that people would repent and turn to the Lord and know his goodness and know his joy, and that the fire would come. So come Holy Spirit, we pray for our land.
And the wind blew so strong that it blew this turbine too fast. It was so strong, and hence it went on fire. So, Lord, we want to see that you're a mighty God, almighty God. Lord, we just pray now that we'd encounter you as mighty God, the one who's worthy of our praise, far beyond what we can imagine. And I believe there are individuals tonight who need fresh revelation of the might of God. And it's not just another sort of tired, busy Christmas. He wants you to have an encounter of his might and his power, to deliver you, to carry you through what you're going through, to give you hope where there is no hope, to restore to you things that you thought you've lost. For some of you, to say to you, I will keep my promises. The Lord says, I always keep my promises. I always keep my promises. Put your trust in me. I always keep my promises. So, Father, we pray for the might of your Spirit, the power of your Spirit, to blow in our lives, to meet us.